Please listen carefully.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. I am going to keep this introduction super short because my conversation with Haley is very self-explanatory and so wonderful. So Haley actually reached out to me a couple months ago, and I was just so overwhelmed with being a new mother. We ended up circling back later on, and I asked her to come on my podcast. She is intuitive and just super passionate about helping people develop their own intuitive abilities and gifts. And she is just so much fun to talk to. Her journey that she shares is super vulnerable. And yeah, I think you guys are really going to be interested in this episode. I know I was super intrigued by her. We've quickly become really good friends, and I just love her so much. So let's jump right in, guys. Hi, Haley. Welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me today. I'm really excited to get started. So let's start with, a little bit about yourself and your gifts and how this started when you were 8 years old. I'm so intrigued.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny because, I remember it kind of beginning at eight. But I think it's kind of always been there my whole life. It's like eight was when I started to learn more. But kind of what happened was I was around 8 or 9 years old. And I think my parents decided that the way that they were kind of practicing religion, they were Catholic, exactly wasn't what they wanted. Not that religion is bad. It just wasn't what lined up with their belief systems anymore. I did not really like going to church that much, which was extremely obvious to them, and it just didn't line up. And so they kind of went on their own exploration, and it was really interesting. I don't even know if they're very aware of exactly what they were doing, but because they went on their own exploration, we got to kind of learn a lot of things along the way. So we got to be brought to all these different spiritual teachers. I went to my first kind of shamanic healing when I was around, I might have been eight. And just kind of diving into that and that energy and that kind of way of thinking that, honestly, I grew up in a small town anyway, but that stuff wasn't talked about or even known, but especially back then, it was not a thing. So it was really interesting to kind of get see those different avenues, and we learned about Hinduism and Buddhism and meditation at a really young age. When I was around nine, we were introduced to a man who became a really close family friend of ours. His name is Georgie Ayaya. I'm gonna shout him out because he's amazing and I love him. And he became a really close family friend of ours, and he studied as a yama, which is kind of like a monk. And he's just a very spiritual person, and he would come to our house and actually kind of teach us how to meditate, because I have two brothers, so he would teach us kind of how to meditate, what exactly energy is, how the universe works, manifestation kind of before The Secret came out, and exactly how, what that was, the different gods, goddesses, ascended masters, archangels, angels to work with. And how to communicate with them and how to hone in on your gifts. But the way that he explained it, and I think that's why I was drawn to it so much, was there was also so much logic based around it. And I know it's sometimes with this stuff, it doesn't seem logical, right? It seems so out there, but there was also just a center groundedness that came along with it that I was really drawn to and that I try to incorporate into what I do now. Because I think there has to kind of be logic behind a lot of things that you do in terms of in terms of trusting yourself and your intuition and to keep yourself grounded. Not necessarily that like things all have to make sense. It's more along the lines of you have to still be human and have that experience as well as being a spiritual being and an energetic being and learning how to balance the two out. So that's kind of what I mean by like logic. But the way that I got to learn that stuff was just, it was just very, I guess, different. And I didn't notice at the time. But yeah, he would come to the house and just kind of have those experiences with us and teach us kind of one-on-one. And then eventually, he kind of led these like mini workshops. Right. And so I would go to them and kind of learn, like there was like one that was devoted all to like gods and goddesses and the different ones and how to talk to them and how, which ones to call on at certain situations and stuff like that. And then another one was like all about like energy and like energetic exchange. And then I learned about how to protect your energy. So it was, and this was over the course of like, probably, like years. So it wasn't just like a very short amount of time, but, and then at 16, I started the process to become a Reiki practitioner at 14. And then at 16, I became a Reiki master. I didn't ever really shut it off, but I like shut off my gifts because they were always there and they were always growing, but I definitely hid them a lot. This was not something I talked about to any of my friends. No one knew. And when I went, when I was in high school and I went to college, I didn't ever really open up and really say like everything that was going on, which is kind of interesting because it's like such a huge part of me that I put on this mask to other people. And then I had kind of some really difficult situations occur from the time I was like 16 till the time I was about 23, which I don't like talking about. I just don't know how much time you have. This is a very long story.
No. I'm loving every bit of this. And so I'm like blown away that you started going for Reiki at 14. Like, oh my gosh, you are so incredible. I could not even wrap my head around that at 14. Like, I probably couldn't even straighten my hair at 14.
I think it was easy because I'd been exposed to it at that point for years. So when you're exposed to that kind of stuff for so long, I think that it changes a lot that mindset a little bit.
And it's just so interesting to hear you say that you kind of like put a mask on it and you didn't talk about it when you were like in high school, because I guarantee that if you were growing up today, you wouldn't, I think that you wouldn't really have to put a mask on it, because this is like just coming to be so, and I don't want to say trendy, but I feel like a lot more people have a lot more awareness about these practices. So, it's interesting that you felt the need to put a mask on it then, because I feel like if you're growing up now, then it would just be a little bit different of a situation maybe.
Yeah, I think it would be. I also think that because of the path that I had to go on, I understand why that happened and why things happened the way they did looking back. It like obviously everyone should kind of live in their truth. But I think because I silenced myself and even I was silenced by others for so long, it gave me now such this incredible, I guess, like, yeah, strength and just understanding I am who I am. And there's a lot of beauty in that. And those who are going to respond to my message are going to respond. And those who don't. And that's completely fine either way. And I think that I probably would have gotten to that place a lot sooner growing up, but I think that experience also helped me to really get a deep relationship with myself that I'm very, very grateful for. So even though obviously like, yeah, that's not a great way to be. And I don't encourage that at all. Like, always stay true to who you are. For me, I kind of understand. I'm so stubborn, so I understand why that was kind of how it unfolded.
Well, and you know, that's part of the human experience, right? It's like, yeah, we all have to learn these like big lessons or go through these journeys in order to figure that out and then appreciate that. As cliche as it sounds, but you know, it's like you have to, you know, get through the rain to get the rainbow. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So can you kind of, since I cut you off a little bit, continuing off your story, you're talking about, bless you, Lizzie, how you had to, you know, kind of like mask it when you're 16. And then what was the journey from there, like where you realized that you wanted to, you know, live in your truth?
It was a long journey, I'm not going to lie. I mean, in the retrospect, probably not that long. It felt like forever. So, like, around 16, I think because I had so much shame around this, it transferred into, because it was such a huge part of who I was, I had so much shame just around who I was in general. And I just didn't have really great self-esteem. And because I was hiding this for so long, I just didn't even really know how to be myself. And I really didn't know how to use my voice. And I ended up getting in at 16 in a really toxic and unhealthy relationship, and stayed in that until I was about 21. So it lasted around like 5 years. And through that time, I also, you know, developed an eating disorder. I had really, really bad anxiety, definitely some depression. And then by the time I did get out of that relationship fully, my anxiety was like at an all-time high. I actually was put on academic probation with my university because my grades had slipped so much. And I ended up getting back on track, kind of taking a little bit of time to just like chill out for a second and come back inward. But I still had a couple years of college left, and I honestly didn't feel like, I knew I had stuff to deal with, but I didn't honestly feel like I had time, which is such a cop-out, but that's what I told myself. And I ended up kind of, you know, partying a lot to kind of suppress it and hinder it and not deal with it. And then I ended up graduating, and I moved to Rhode Island. I moved to Newport, Rhode Island.
Oh, no way. I was literally just there 2 weekends ago.
That was my little healing island.
I love it.
And I actually ended up, I moved there for a job, and about, I think, a month and a half after I moved, I was actually assaulted one night.
Oh, and my God.
So it was a completely random, weird thing that had happened. And I remember going home that night and sitting on the couch, and I just was like bawling. I was a mess. And I didn't really at the time, I don't think I comprehended exactly in that moment how big of a turning point that was for me. Now I understand, but over like, I kind of was like not in a great place for probably like, I mean, a while, but it was really intense for probably like 2 or 3 weeks, I would say. And finally, at one point, I just kind of, I had multiple conversations with myself. I know that sometimes it's kind of like I had this one conversation with myself. I had a lot of conversations with myself. But one of the big ones was kind of just like, I'm so sick of feeling this way. Like, I'm so angry. I'm so sad. I don't remember what it's like to be happy. If I'm not angry or sad, or I just don't feel anything. I feel just numb. And I had always had my spirituality. Like I know that some people, like, I might sound like I shut it down. I didn't shut it down. It was just something I kind of did behind the scenes, and I wasn't committed to growing. It just kind of was like a little stagnant, I guess you could say. And then finally, it was just kind of, I kind of had this moment of, you know, God, like, I understand that things are probably happening for a reason, and I'm letting you take the reins because I don't really know what to do next. And so kind of what happened was just following my intuition. And that's like the message that I got, is you need to start following your intuition, and you need to start to get back into this. So it started just kind of as devoting like all of my time to healing, because I just had so much that I had to release and heal. And so my meditations kind of turned into these like deep, deep healing meditations. So like I would go into meditation and I would talk to my guides, and I would just say, okay, can you please lead me through a meditation that will help me heal this specific thing, because this event keeps popping up in my mind. So it was a lot of inner child work, a lot of like past self work, a lot of shadow self work, a lot of cord cutting, And it was like very intense healing period of time for about probably, I would say like 6 to 8 months. And then it kind of filtered off a little bit. Stuff did keep coming up. I mean, it's always going to. The whole process probably took like a year and a half. And during that time, kind of what happened was I wasn't really around family. I wasn't really around friends. So I really had to take that period of time to go inward. And that's exactly what I did. I treated my spiritual growth during that time and my practice, my healing as like a second job. Like I would literally come home from work and I would go work out right after work and then eat dinner. And then it was just spiritual work for pretty much like probably around 5 hours.
Wow, that's a long time.
And it was just this commitment that I made to myself because it was like one of those, it was just one of those things. And I think we all have these where we can see the person that we can be like on the other side or at the top of the mountain, but we're like looking down and we're like looking up, trying to find them. Right. And I could see that person. And like each time I did something, it was just like another, like I could see like another step to the ladder to get them. So I was just so determined to get to where I knew I could be that I was just willing to do anything because I was just so sick of feeling that way. And I just knew what I was capable of. And I wasn't going to settle for anything less than that. And so it was intense. And I know that sometimes there are obviously outside factors because when I tell a story, I'm like, I understand that people, you know, I was lucky at that time because, you know, I didn't have a family there. I didn't even really have like family or friends around me, so I could devote that whole time to me. So I don't want anyone to say like, I don't have that amount of time and then, you know, not feel like they can't do it. That was just my journey. And if you can just devote some part of your day to that, then that's huge leaps and bounds that you can make for yourself. But I'm just an intense person when it comes to that stuff. And I'm like, nope, I'm going to do it now. And I'm just going to dive in. And that's kind of exactly what happened. And that was just kind of my journey, but yours doesn't have to be like that.
So let's kind of tap into that a little bit. So you spent 5 hours really, you know, digging into your spiritual practice and working on yourself. What were you doing during those 5 hours? Like, what are some of the practices that you were doing that people listening might be able to relate to and work on as well?
So meditation is like my biggest thing. Like I love meditation. Whenever I meditate, I feel like I'm coming home, and it's actually gotten to the point where like I actually feel very at home almost wherever I am because of that, because if I can meditate, then I'm home.
I love that. And what's meditation to you? Because I feel like everybody meditates a little bit differently. Some people listen to guided meditations. For me, I'm such a go, go, go person. I get my walking meditations in when I'm walking my daughter just because I'm with her all the time. And that's how I can fit it in. But I would love to hear like what your meditation looks like for you.
So for me, I personally, like I do definitely do those walking meditations. Walking on the beach is something that is so, I think is a beautiful thing, or just walking out in nature in general. For me, I'm just really called to the beach. But for me, like when I think of, oh, I'm coming home right now, it's when I am sitting, you know, cross-legged on the floor and going and having that connection. Typically how I meditate is I kind of allow a certain amount of time to actually let my thoughts run wild, because that's just a part of it and that's going to happen. So I suggest 20 minutes. My meditations tend to go, personally, just a little longer. But it also depends on the day and what I'm being guided to do, because I tend to kind of ask what I need to take care of in that moment if something's coming up, or if they want something, or if they have something to show me, if they have a message that they want me to deliver. But usually I need that space to not think at all and just to let myself be silent and kind of feel that light and to feel that love and that divine love and that connection. It's almost like recharging my battery a little bit. And so for me, it is that practice of kind of sitting on the floor in silence or quiet. But I don't have, especially if you're just starting to get into meditation, I actually think that guided meditations are a good idea. I mean, I release some, so I'd be like very hypocritical of me to be like, don't do them.
Yeah.
But I think if, especially if you're just starting out or if you're really wanting to build your intuition, meditation is the quote unquote fastest way to do it. And the easiest way to do it, because you're allowing, what meditation does, it's a really allowing yourself to listen. That's all. It's healing and it's listening. Something that my teacher told me was that when you pray, you're asking, and when you're meditating, you're listening. And I've found that to be true, definitely. At least the way, like, because when we pray sometimes, or it's like, can I have this and can I have that? Not always, but sometimes. And so kind of when I look at meditation, I see it kind of as like taking that time to sit in silence and listen for a little while. So that's kind of how I look at it, but I think my guided meditations are a really great way to do it. I think going out into nature is an awesome way to do it. To me, it's just connecting. It's just allowing you the space to connect and allowing yourself to kind of quiet your mind a little bit and go inward. And that's, I think, when beautiful things can happen and when beautiful things can occur.
Absolutely. So when you started your night, you know, devoted to yourself, is that, did you start off with the meditation or?
That was misleading. Typically what I would do is I would get home from work, or I would leave work, and I would actually go straight into a workout, because actually working out really helps to move the energy. So that wasn't the only reason why I did it, but that was part of the reason why I did it. Also, it just felt good to get back into my body, especially because physically I'd had so many things that had occurred that it felt good for me to have a situation where I was really in control of my body. So I went and worked out. I would like go home, eat and shower and stuff. And then I would pretty much like go right into a meditation. And then those meditations, they lasted. I mean, I didn't really put, I know some people put like an alarm clock, but I kind of found sometimes if you put an alarm, then you're thinking about the alarm the entire time.
Totally. I agree with that.
Yeah. So I didn't put an alarm. I would just kind of, I would check the time to see like how long I could do it and see where my starting point was. And then I would just kind of say, okay, I work a lot with Archangel Michael. And I said, okay, can you take me where I need to go, or like bring me to where I need to go for this meditation? And then typically like other beings would show up too, or like I would go through an inner child thing, and a lot of stuff would happen. those times varied. And then kind of actually, and I find this still after I meditate, I don't really want to like watch TV or kind of take in any form of media like that. And so I would either read a book that was like a spiritual book or like personal development, something that would just help me to grow. Or even like fiction sometimes. It just depended on it, because I really made sure that what I was taking in was high vibrational. And then I would kind of, if I didn't really allow myself to watch TV, it was like one night, I think one night a week, I would watch like The Bachelorette with my roommates or something, which wasn't high vibrational, but also like that show is hilarious. So whatever. So I would, and then afterwards I would maybe like journal, or even like meditate again. Sometimes I'll have like situations where I'm really going through a really intense release, or I'm getting a lot of downloads, but it'll be like almost in segments. So I'll like go and I'll meditate for like maybe 40 minutes, maybe even 20 minutes. And then they'll be like, okay, you can take a break, go get water, and then come back. And it just depended, and sometimes it happens, and like that can happen like 3 or 4 times, but it varies on day to day. I'm also not someone who does great with a schedule, like a really intense schedule. And I think, I mean, they know that. So they don't have me like do things that are like rigorous, the same thing all the time. But my non-negotiable is that I have to meditate twice a day. And I have to do something that's like some kind of a spiritual, I use the word devotional, practice.
So interesting. And if you don't find time to meditate or do something devotional, do you just not feel yourself? Do you feel off? Like, is that what keeps you motivated? Because dedicate, you know, meditation twice a day really does take a lot of dedication. I mean, on top of working and working out and just, you know, taking care of yourself, that is a lot of dedication.
It is. To be honest, I very rarely don't do it. I just, for me, because of, I think it has to do greatly with like what I do, because I do intuitive readings on people. Like, I am doing so much spiritual work that I'm offering. I view it not only just as like a personal thing, but I just view it as my responsibility to be as connected and as a clear channel as I possibly can be, because if I'm taking on this responsibility and I'm telling people information, then I need to make sure that I'm a clear channel.
I love that perspective.
Yeah. And so it's almost like it is about me in the sense of like, it helps me, right? Like it's something that, yes, like my work is important to me. Yes, like my relationships are important to me. But the most important thing to me is my spiritual growth. And so to me, that is like the part of like, yeah, this is for me. But then the other part, there's also this like other side to it that's like, but it's also not about me. So I have chosen this kind of work that, and I think everyone should work in a way of service, but you know, it's a very blatant way of working in service. You know, I chose this path and it's my purpose. It's why I chose to incarnate. And I view it as a responsibility for me to do that kind of thing. And it's not something that takes a ton of time or a ton of energy. I feel better and then I can help a lot of people along the way. So I have to do it. It's not something, it's not even like a question to me. but if I am going to continue to do this, like, you know, I have to make sure that I'm protected and I have to make sure that the messages are coming through in positive and loving and light ways. Cause sometimes, you know, they can like enter in a not great light. And I want to make sure that I know the difference and that I'm not filtering through things with my ego and I can put that aside. And the way that I felt is just having that dedication to my spiritual practice and to meditation and in service is the easiest way for me to do that.
So I want to just shed a little bit more light on your intuitive practice, because a couple of times I heard you refer to it as they, like they don't, that, you know, they don't put you on this rigorous schedule and things like that. And I feel like I might have an inkling of what you're talking about, but I would love for you to just kind of explain like where your downloads are coming from and what it's like, because I'm super curious. I'm sure everybody else is super curious. Like, what is that like to have downloads come in and, like you said, be able to filter through the good and I guess like the lower energy and
So for me, it's a lot of different ways that they come to me. My guides, we all have a team, right? We have a team of beings on the other side who are there and they're working with us and they're supporting us and they're trying to help us out. And they all want to communicate with us. I did a post on this the other day. We all have the ability to connect with them. And one thing I really want people to actually know is everyone can do what I can do. Like I don't mean this in like a way that's self-deprecating or like I don't love myself, but like I'm not special. And I really want people to know that like you can get these messages and you can do this. It takes practice, right? So kind of what happens is it depends on the situation. Typically when I'm meditating, it comes to me kind of in like images, or I'm also pretty clairaudient. There's also just times where I just know, like I just know for, like I'm just like, yeah, like I know that this happened and I know that this is what you're going through, or I know that you want me to do this, so I'm just going to do it. When I say they, I'm like, I know that Archangel Michael wants me to do something, so I'm going to do it. I do have a select few few that I kind of go to more than others, because I work with their energy a lot easier than maybe some other like gods, goddesses, ascended masters, because they've just been on my team for a long time, so I'm used to talking to them, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
But then like others also, like you can have other ones come in, and I have had actually a couple of new ones come in probably within the last like year or so that I've been working with quite a lot. But they can be ascended masters, they can be gods, goddesses, archangels, angels, loved ones who have crossed over. I've seen like, this is really, I mean, like it's coming more, a little bit more, well known, but like I've seen like the Pleiadians, I've seen the Nine, and like other beings who I haven't really fully like learned their name. I've seen fairies, mermaids, elementals, like, it can be, or loved ones that have crossed over. It can be like pretty much anyone who walks in that really high light.
Can I stop you right there for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. So out of all of those energies, what has been your favorite? Or like what has been like the most magical for you? Because I've heard of the Pleiadians before. Yeah. I've never heard somebody say mermaids before. So that's super cool. I just want to know, like, what was your favorite?
It's less of, like, I have favorite, like, it's, like, less groups. It's more, like, specific beings that I really like. So when, like, I love Archangel Michael, like, I feel like he's like my brother. I have a conversation with him all the time. And then my McCampbell check is like
Sorry.
You're fine. McCampbell check is a very important guide for me. He's really good with like manifestation, that I've been like diving into. So he's been coming forward a lot. And then like I work with Lakshmi, Ganesh. I love working with the fairies, but they don't really care about work. They only care about like, they're really good for like releasing your inner child and like having fun and getting tapped into that. So whenever I feel like I'm like too far into that kind of like work mindset, I'll like call them in and I'll like be like, okay, I need your help, or like, can you
guide me? I love that. How cool.
And then the mermaids are really good for healing and for like opening up with like sensuality. So when I moved to Rhode Island, that was a really big thing for me, which is like, I went to the beach all the time and they were like very helpful with that kind of stuff. And then they also are like fairies are too, but because they're elemental beings, like very protective of nature, and they are very drawn to people who care about Earth and are trying to make it a better place. It's just different gods and goddesses. I really like working with Athena because, like, she's really good when it helps with, like, channeling stuff. And then other ones just, like, pop in and out. From time to time, Jesus is a really big one for me, too, and so is Mary Magdalene.
So how did you learn to connect to all of these energies? I understand that, like, you grew up around it and things like that, but... I mean, obviously, this happened, like, over time and whatnot, but, how did you just learn to, like, make these connections? Like, did you just sit down during your 5-hour and I hope this is, like, coming across the right way. I'm just trying to, like, really get to the nitty-gritty details. Like, were you able to learn how to do this during your 5 hours of, like, self-exploration? Or, like, how did you, you know, tune into these energies?
So, for me, it's kind of just been always something. I think it could always be something that I could do. And then I knew that I was kind of, like, it was like I was communicating with someone. I knew that. The fairies were really easy, especially for me as a kid. I grew up in a place of, like, there's just grass everywhere. It was, like, fairy haven. I was, like, a very, like, happy-go-lucky, like, free-spirited child. So, like, it didn't seem weird to me to, like, have that stuff, if that makes any sense.
Right.
It was when I learned exactly, okay, this is Lakshmi, this is Archangel Michael, this is Melchizedek, like, this is Ganesh, or various other ones. I was like, oh, okay. And, like, I could, like, almost, like, put a face to the name, if that makes any sense. And it's like, okay, like, I know that, like, Archangel Michael is a great example. Like, I know that you've been here. And, like, I could feel your energy. Just didn't know what you were called. And I think, too, like, I got introduced to that stuff young, so I could put, like, almost, like, that face to the name.
Right, and you didn't have that doubt that adults have, you know? Like, a lot of times I feel like, especially with our generation, you know, if you didn't have that kind of upbringing, you doubted it, and now we're all just kind of coming to this, like, frequency where we're like, wow, this is real, and we're just starting to pull the veil back almost.
And I know that I'm lucky in that sense, but, you know, at the same time, with that said, when I started really, like, deepening this, there's stuff that did start happening that I had never experienced before and I hadn't learned about. And so I still had doubt, you know, that still is just like, wait, like, what is this? This is so weird. So, you know, that happens. It's a very human thing. And, you know, the ego is always going to be there.
Right.
So also, like, but a way to deal with the doubt in the way that you can kind of pinpoint if it's your ego or if it's, like, your higher self or your guides or anyone else who wants to come through who's in that avenue. One thing to just kind of see is it coming from a place of judgment? Is there an underlying, quote-unquote, like, negative connotation that comes along with it? Not, like, a warning, because, like, that can come with your guides, but more of just, like, a self-judgment or, like, anytime there's doubt, that tends to be ego, because it's just, like, you don't believe in what you're saying. So, like, your ego is going to come in and be like, yeah, you're right. You're not believing what you're saying. Like, of course you're wrong.
Versus,
like, your guides would never tell you that. Like, your guides only operate in the sense in that higher light and of that love. So they would never come in and be like, no, like, you're wrong. Like, don't trust yourself. Like, they're not going to tell you that.
Right.
So that's kind of, like, a really good way to kind of differentiate between the two. And that's kind of a practice of what I do. And also, like, it's kind of hard to explain, but sometimes things, like, look shiny and, like, look duller. And so if I'm getting visions and something looks shinier or looks lighter, then that's something of light. And if something looks darker, it could be, like, that shadow self. And I actually will still have a conversation with my shadow self because I want to understand it and, like, integrate it in a way of bringing it back into light.
But, that's interesting. That's interesting. And that's really powerful that you do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been like, it was the biggest, I think one of the biggest practices that I had when I was, like, going through that really intense growth period, because I did have so many aspects that I wasn't trusting, and I did have so many aspects of myself that I didn't necessarily wasn't even like that's not even, like, the best way to word, but I had to let go of and understand. But first, in order to let go of it, I had to understand it and where it was coming from.
So for somebody listening who's like, oh my gosh, this is so inspiring, I want to go meditate and, you know, connect with these energies. What advice would you have for them? So, for example, my husband, I probably have, like, started changing his perspective a little bit, but he doesn't 100% believe in all of this. And, you know, I sage the house and things like that. But to him, he's like, oh, you're inviting negative energy in or something. So what advice would you have for somebody who's ready to dig deep and meditate and dig into their into other energies and protect themselves and their family and their home? Like, are there any practices that you do or that you would advise to, you know, anyone listening? Sorry to kind of be redundant, but just to wrap it up here, like, I always say a prayer, like, thank you, God, for wrapping me, my husband, my daughter, my home in white light, like, whenever I just get, like, uneasy energy.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's actually, that's a really good practice. So there are different lights that you can kind of work with and call on. I tend to work with gold and I tend to work with white. White is good for energy protection and for healing. And it doesn't let anything in or out. And then some lights, they let stuff in. So that's why I tend to use white, because it doesn't let anything in. So you, that's good, Nick. You followed your intuition, which is awesome.
So when you say it doesn't let anything out, do you, like, what if there's, like, a negative energy already? Is it going to keep it in?
No, it's not, okay. It's not like jail.
Got it.
It won't let, because sometimes, like, with, like, certain lights, with, like, pink light, it can let, like, the, it can technically only let good stuff in, but... You know, I don't know. I think with protection, you should just be like nothing, just only my energy and only allowing myself and my energy to like kind of come within this surrounding field of me. Again, that's kind of what I found to work for me. If someone else feels like the pink light works for them, like, or certain things work for them, like, that's amazing. But that kind of, I'm very, very passionate and like, and yeah, protective of people in that sense, because it is true. And I do talk about this a lot, and I'm actually coming out with a whole course around just protecting your energy.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for it. But with this, when you start going down this path, and sometimes I'm hesitant to talk about this in this term because I don't want to scare anyone. But when you're opening up the space and you're not protecting yourself and you're not setting the correct intentions, which I can tell you guys, you are allowing pretty much anyone to come in. It can be like the light, it can be the dark, it can be kind of just gray, which is just bleh energy that just kind of drains you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't necessarily leave, right? So they can just hang around your house and then you don't even know that they're there. They're just following you around and connecting cords and draining your energy. So before you meditate, before I meditate, I make sure before anything, I call upon Archangel Michael, because he's in charge of energetic protection, and protecting you, to protect me from the right, the left, the front, the back, the top, the bottom. And then I ask him to shield me in a white light. And then I also ask him to only allow those who walk in the highest light of Christ. I say Christ meaning Christ consciousness. But I understand if people don't necessarily, like, they might feel like, eh, about that word. So you can also say, I only accept those who walk in the highest light of the universe. And lower energies can't live in those buzzwords. There are certain buzzwords like that where they can't, that's such a high frequency, they can't even, like, come close to that, or they'll just go away because it's, like, vibrating too high for them to live in. So I'll say that before I meditate, and if I feel something like creeping up or coming, I'll just keep saying it, and then they'll usually go away. It's kind of like a pesky fly. That's how I look at them. It's like a bug that's really annoying. And then you just kind of gently swap them away. And then I'll go around. I mean, because I do Reiki around the room. So if you can do Reiki, do that. But I'll just go around and kind of imagine myself in, like, my like high priestess energetic self, like, going around the room and, like, doing, like, different, like, symbols on it and stuff like that, and protecting it in, like, white light and then gold light. And just then I call in, like, Ganesh too, because he removes obstacles, and just making sure that, like, everything is set. And I also have four archangels sitting in each corners of the room. So the protection thing probably takes around like 5 to 10 minutes for me to do. But when you do that, it definitely makes a difference.
Now, do you also use crystals or essential oils or anything else to kind of create that high vibe space in your home to kind of deter, like,
the lower energies? Yep, absolutely. So I love black obsidian. I actually started just, like, wearing it, too, because just out in day-to-day because some weird stuff was starting to happen, so I wear it, too. But I have it in the bedroom, putting it like a either black obsidian or tourmaline. They're saying tourmaline.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it either. But
the door. And like, I was like obsidian. They're like, no, that's wrong. Okay, sorry. tourmaline should go above the door if you wanted to protect that. If you wanted to also like tap into spirit animals, I have like a spirit animal of mine guard my door and my bed, and like me when I'm meditating. I do use essential oils. I lately, because of just like this certain time period I'm in, I'm using a lot of rose because I'm really focusing on like opening my heart chakra up. So I tend to use that before I meditate. I also like, I like having a sacred space. And when I do that, incorporating all four elements. So fire, water, air can be incense. And then earth is, you can have like crystals on it, and having that set up. But with crystals, I really suggest people just follow their intuition on what they should pick and what is really brought out to them, because crystals are like very much drawn to who they're supposed to belong to. And when they get to belong to, like when they get to be with like their like person, they get very like protective and they'll work for you very well. So with crystals, I suggest that you kind of follow your intuition on that. And it just kind of depends on like what you want in that moment, and then kind of going according to that.
Those were so helpful. I'm literally going to have to ask you later on a couple more questions about that. I have a couple more questions for you. So you mentioned spirit animal. So we won't go into my ridiculously long story, but I do have a spirit animal. It's a deer. And I also went through like this really hard time in my life in my early 20s, mid-20s, and a deer appeared. And ever since then, whenever I see a live deer, which I see them in my yard frequently, you know, that's like a good sign. And if I see, unfortunately, like a dead deer, I know that there's going to be an issue. And it just always happens, always matches up. And so on Lionsgate, this past Lionsgate, 10 days ago or something like that, a tree, a massive tree, fell in my yard across my driveway at like 6 a.m., I literally thought somebody was, like, breaking into my house. So my daughter happened to be up all night that night, which I feel like she's very sensitive to, like, energies and things like that. So it kind of all makes sense now. But at the time, she was up, all night. And I was up with her at 6 a.m. when the tree fell. I thought somebody came in the house. I screamed for my husband. I'm like, we're being robbed. So he like went downstairs with his baseball bat and he looks all over. He's like, everything's fine. And then he looks out the window and he sees this massive tree, massive, like I can't even, across our driveway, across our whole property. And four deer are just like surrounding the tree, eating off of it. And it was just such like a magical, powerful sign. And I had been getting a couple of signs this summer since I've become kind of a stay-at-home mom. My car got totaled and then I locked my keys in my car and then this blocked my driveway. And I'm like, I feel like the universe is telling me you need to stop, go, 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 and just slow down. And it physically blocked me from leaving my driveway. But long story short, yeah, I firmly believe in the spirit animals and powerful deities like the Lionsgate. And since the Lionsgate just passed, are you familiar with Lionsgate? And like, what are some other like powerful deities in the year that we should like keep a heads up for?
So for me, with that kind of stuff, I actually suggest that people, I mean, there's like time periods that I've kind of noticed are really going to be big when it comes to specific days. I suggest kind of actually looking into astrology, because they, like, there's just such a science behind it. And actually with Lionsgate, it was 8-8 was a really powerful day, but the actual event that people were talking about was actually on the 7th. So it was actually the day before.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So like that, the energy that people were like, oh, it's happening on August 8th. It actually happened on the 7th. It's kind of when, not an astrologer. It's when like the Sirius star comes down and the pyramids are all really lined up with the stars and stuff like that. And so it's when like the Sirius star, which is a really big star, comes down and it's like directly lined with the Pyramid of Giza. And then that light it's like an energy force that comes over to the world, which is why they built the pyramids like that. And that actually happened on the 7th. And then the 8th, it was a really great and powerful day. But typically actually, like I heard a lot of people were having a lot of intense energy happen on the 7th, and then they felt a lot lighter on the 8th. And then the 8th was really good for like manifesting and like getting into the energy a little bit more. And so if you did do something on Lionsgate on like the 8th, like that's still amazing. Like definitely it will help and stuff like that. But definitely if something like that is going on, pay attention and go to like an actual astrologer's page, because those dates, you know, it's great that people are talking about it, but also it's kind of like everyone becomes an astrologer.
Yes, I agree with that.
And so what happened is there's like a lot of misinformation about it. And then everyone is doing like great things, so it's not bad, but also like you just want to make sure you're getting accurate information. It's like anything else, right? So with that stuff, I don't mind like speaking like to the energy and stuff, but with specific dates, it's really good to like look into astrology and make sure that it's like an actual astrologer that you're looking at and not just like a random random person, if that makes any sense. And I mean that in the most loving and nicest way possible. But with energy, it's really interesting because like I know fall for a lot of people is going to be pretty abundant, and like there has been a little bit of a turnover where we went through a lot of release within like the last few months, right? And then so like they kind of speak to me in months, which I also have like a monthly thing, so that might be why. Like I have a monthly club, so that probably might be why. But for me, I've kind of noticed, and what they've kind of told me is August is a little bit of the last bit of release. I think we're kind of coming to it to an end now, but essentially if you've been manifesting, like hardcore manifesting for about a year now, the things that you want to bring into your life, you're really going to start to see that coming into fruition like end of August and into the fall. Like the fall is a pretty abundant time for a lot of people, and then 2020 is supposed to be super abundant, especially if you've been working really, really hard to get to that goal. A lot of people are going to start to come to see like their businesses grow a lot and kind of just see a lot of things come into fruition during this 2020 year. And so the last 6 months or so, we started, I think, in May, June, has been prep for 2020. Because actually, like, the first 6 months are, like, getting used to that energy. And, like, especially the first 2 months are, like, getting used to that old year. And then when we hit, like, that 6 months before the new year, we start actually prepping for the new year to come, which is why it's, like, it is important to make sure your thoughts are, like, in check and you're doing manifesting things, even though you're constantly manifesting, but like actively thinking about what you want to manifest, because it's actually it's starting to take note for that next year. So back in like May, June, we were going through all these release things to make room for a lot of stuff. We were doing that, so like obviously like we want great things, but especially for the year to come, that was a big reason.
That's so powerful, and I love how you explain that, because you're so right. It's like you are, you know, collecting your harvest in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. And everything you've, like, worked towards.
Yep, yeah.
So Before we wrap up, would you mind just kind of letting everybody know exactly what you offer? So I know you give intuitive readings, you have some meditations, but can you just get down to the nitty gritty and tell them where they can find you and all that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever I do this, I'm like, oh, I have a lot. yes, you can always book a reading with me. I also do energy healings. I also do one-on-one coaching. Hey. If you really want to dive in and deepen your intuition, my biggest thing is that I really want people to know that they can do this on their own and that literally anything is possible. So I really love working in that one-on-one coaching space and helping people to develop their energy and grow and do all the stuff that I do on their own. So that's kind of what my one-on-one coaching is. And then I also have just kind of like one-off meditations available on my website, and they're guided. It's a lot of like meeting your guides and inner child. There's an inner child one. There's a Lemuria one, and I'm going to be releasing like some more periodically. I also have two meditation courses, and I also have that course coming out all about energetic protection. And that should be coming out in October, which I'm really excited about. And then if your listeners want, I'm actually offering a code. It's just kombucha. And you can get 25% off.
Amazing. I might actually use that code myself because I'm super intrigued. And don't forget to mention your podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah, I have a podcast too. the Shine Bright Podcast is my podcast.
Love it. So one more thing, I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, I love, lemon cayenne.
Ooh.
Or like a lemon ginger. I love lemon. But it depends. I like the little like spicy kick to it. I'm not a big sweet person. But I really love like that kind of flavor. And it helps me because lemon helps to clear out your aura. So I tend to drink a lot of like lemon water or lemon flavored things.
Ooh, I like that connection there. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You were absolutely amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Usually I interview people for about a half hour, but I literally had so many questions for you. I wanted to keep it going.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much.